Maddie, good morning. Happy new week. Hope you're doing amazing. I'm super, super, super excited to be introducing you to another one of my recently hot off the press published authors, Tracy, who's based on the Gold Coast. Show us your book, Tracy. Your amazing book. She's a best-selling author of The Depth of Her Survival. And we're going to talk about that today. But first of all, let me give you Tracy's official introduction, and then we can get into why she wrote the book, what are you going to get out of reading this book, and how she helps others overcome their own trauma and, you know, abusive relationships that they may have, unhealthy relationships, as she likes to say. All right, so here we go. Tracy is a holistic trauma therapist, mental health practitioner, author, and motivational speaker with lived experience in navigating the impacts of unhealthy relationships, dysfunctional family dynamics, low self-worth, and childhood adversity. Tracy is an animal lover and a devoted mother to two children who she's currently independently raising. Prior to transitioning into the mental health space, Tracy spent almost two decades of her career working in various managerial, medical, and health and safety roles within the Defence Force, as well as the sector, a private sector in heavy industry. Tracy's own life experience led her to finding her life path and aligning with her soul's purpose in supporting others to heal from trauma. Tracy is passionate about guiding people through healing the root cause of their mental health symptoms so that they can move out of survival mode and into a life that they thrive in. Tracy supports people through her work in one-on-one sessions, intensive healing programs, retreats, and workshops. She speaks at events about trauma and adversity and resides on the Gold Coast in Australia and supports people all over the world in her healing work. So welcome, Trace. How are you?
Thank you.
Has your morning been dropping all the
Busy morning, but all under control. So looking forward to the interview this morning and then straight into clients for the day.
Yeah. Awesome. Tell me then. I know we can talk about how you help people. Let's take a step back to the book. You know, how long had you been thinking about writing this book? And what was your line in the sand moment to go, no, you know what, I'm going to do this. So I can even help more people.
Well, I definitely had a quite profound line in the sand moment before I felt, I guess, comfortable, confident in going ahead with, you know, embarking on writing this book and then the next phase of actually publishing it. I went through quite a significant period of a few years of post-separation abuse after leaving an unhealthy marriage. Quite relentless, very, very difficult with two young children in tow, huge life changes going on. And during that time, one of the ways I was able to support myself with self-care and being able to kind of, you know, support my mental health was to journal at night. It was something I could do within my control while my kids were in bed. And I used to just journal and journal and journal for a couple of years. I did this and it got to the stage where things started to lift a little bit within the circumstances of the separation. And I went back and reflected on my journals and I realized the horrific experiences that had played out and that it was actually quite common with other people and other women and some men that I had interacted with, you know, in my post-separation journey. And I realized that there was a story here to be told. I also realized that I was still feeling so suppressed from not having a voice, you know, being silenced within the court systems and just not feeling like I had been able to have a voice be heard and being seen for what I'd been through and being believed by professionals and even some people close to me. So writing this book, the first part was around my own healing, being able to voice my story, to validate my own experience in order to move through, you know, what I'd been through and to heal. The second part was I realized there was so many other people out there that were going through this and really, really struggling. And I knew that I needed to share my story. And I also knew that I had done so much inner work and so much healing that I was able to help guide and provide wisdom and insight to those who were still in the throes of trying to navigate such experiences. So writing this book was motivated by those two aspects there. My line in the sand moment would have been where I initially thought I'm just writing it, but I might not publish it. I was a bit sitting on the edge. And I got to the stage where I was so had such a deep desire to resolve our parenting matters for our children within the separation that had been prolonged and dragged out and stalled for many years, that I knew writing a book like this may hinder that. So I thought, I cannot publish this book. Then I got to the stage where I realized this could be it, and this may go on for years or may never resolve. So I knew that I needed to just move forward with my life, and a part of that was writing this book. And so I gave a time frame of 6 months and gave everything I had to try and resolve it, still to no avail. And so therefore that was my line in the sand moment. After that 6 months, I decided that I was going to go ahead and publish it. And so I did, and that's how The Depth of Her Survival came to be. So yeah, very excited that it's now out and about, and it's already proven to have helped many, many women around the world in just such a short time. The feedback and the people reaching out just to say they feel so seen and heard and validated, and some of them are saying it's like inside my brain. How do you know this stuff? And it's just the patterns and themes that are linked, with this sort of dynamic.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I love your cover, one of my favorite covers. Do you want to tell us a little bit about the thought process and the meaning behind the image?
The image, yes. I think, as you can see here, it's a woman. She's quite elegant, but she's obviously drowning. I think I was thinking of an image around someone walking out of flames or a fire, and it just wasn't really resonating and landing in the way that I was what I was trying to find to portray. But this image I came across, it just really hit me to my core when I saw it, and it just feels so relatable. It was, you just feel like you're drowning and there's no soft place to fall, no one's going to catch you, you feel like you'll never get out of it. Just such a deep, dark place to be in for so long. And so that image really portrayed what I felt in my experience and what I know many others do. So I just found it to be quite profound in relaying the experience. Yeah.
Love that. It's beautiful. I think it is very elegant and, sends a big message of how exactly people would be feeling.
Absolutely.
With the title and the tagline there. So what will people get from reading your book, aside from obviously your story is being shared throughout there? What are some of the other things you hope to impart as in value for others?
So I've specifically written it in a way where it's sharing authentic, raw, lived experience with my story, but it's intertwined with the practitioner insight and wisdom and the tone through that. So it's really quite unique in the way that it's written, in its ability to help people. People will gain from this. If you are someone with lived experience, you will definitely feel like you can relate, that you are validated, that you are believed. That's one of the big things that, survivors or victims of this sort of experience, they often do not feel believed by those around them professionally and personally. So you will feel like, yes, someone actually sees me and hears me. So it's that validation. You will also gain tips and wisdom on how to actually move through the healing process so that you can actually break free from this type of dynamic, and so that you can ensure that you are preventing yourself from entering into that again. And when we look at that a little bit deeper, it's really around identifying and bringing light to the unconscious limiting beliefs that are often playing out within yourself, in relation to self-worth, in relation to, belief around whether you deserve to be respected and treated with care and all of those sorts of things. I talk quite deeply about the childhood conditioning aspect as well. It's nearly always present in people who end up in coercive control or other forms of unhealthy, abusive relationships. So you'll gain a lot of wisdom and insight in the inner side of you and how you can actually move through that. It just brings the unconscious to the conscious by reading this book. So the things that you don't even know are there, you're really going to bring that to conscious awareness so that you can process, heal, and move forward through that. For those who haven't got lived experience, but who are reading it to better educate themselves, you're really going to be able to have an inside view onto what it's like, the impact on those people in the community or those in your family or friends network who may have experienced this, whether they're stuck in something or whether they're on their way out. And you will really have a deep level of compassion and empathy for these people and have a lot of insight and tools and techniques to how to best support them and really relate to what they're going through. So I think it's great for really anyone to read. Even practitioners and coaches have been reading it to really help better their knowledge in how they can support their clients. And I've had a lot of feedback on how profound it's been for, you know, those in the professional practitioner sense as well, that having that deep insight so they can support their clients better. Yeah.
All around us, we all would probably know somebody who's either been through it, going through it, or, you know, something's not right. And absolutely, you're right, that it would help multitude of people to understand. And as you say, step into the shoes of somebody who may be going through something like this. I know that I was a child of, you know, domestic violence and a narcissistic relationship, you know, growing up. Yeah. And some of those patterns, as you say, I actually chose my beliefs, I guess, I grew up with, was to go completely opposite. So I've always found the most wonderful partners, and I'm married to the, you know, an amazing man and all that sort of stuff. But I chose the complete opposite. I went on to marry my mother, not my father.
Yes, if you know. That's how it works and often. Kind of,
yeah, yeah. You either marry your mother or your father, and usually for girls it would be their father. However, because of trauma and that kind of upbringing, it's, you know, it flipped, and therefore I've always attracted good in my life. So that's where the belief systems, I believe, you talk about the patterns and experience. Is there, what's some ways that you recommend to explore beliefs and unresourceful patterns? Is there particular things you use in, with your clients that you do?
Yes, absolutely. I've spent many years studying, exploring, educating myself, you know, trying things on myself to see what actually is effective and what does move through these shifts and transformations that are needed. And what I've found is that it's really going to talk therapy, I find, has very little impact on shifting the beliefs, unless you're in it for years and years and decades. I'm very much of the belief that we need to work with the subconscious mind and the body, because the subconscious mind and the body are where trauma is stored. It's not stored in the cognitive mind. So if you're going to talk therapy, talking over narratives, all you're doing is re-traumatizing yourself, working with the mind, but you're not actually working on resolve or processing anything where it's stored in the subconscious and the body. And so all the modalities that I work with do take that subconscious mind and body somatic approach. And so things like working with kinesiology, where you can actually use biofeedback to tap into your subconscious and your body's imprints to find out what are your beliefs that are causing stresses and imbalances that are playing out in your life. We can work with things like EMDR, which is a particular modality for PTSD and things like that, that can help to discharge and process traumatic imprints from your body and your nervous system. So often the way that our nervous system operates plays out in how we then feel and how we think and how we take action in life. So if we can address healing the nervous system, we can often make profound changes and shifts in how we then move forward in our life and the things that we are attracted to, the way that we either react or respond to you know, things that come into our world. And so it's really about that nervous system approach, that body approach, that subconscious mind approach in really processing, you know, the unresolved trauma that resides there. And sometimes you don't actually know it's there, but you just know that something isn't right. So it's really about looking at that holistic approach, which is the what I do with all of my clients for that root cause and true resolve.
I love it. Do you also use EFT or...?
I do use that as a tool, a complementary tool, and you can teach them to do that at home to best support themselves. So, yeah, EFT is something that is really helpful as well, and it complements definitely, yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, so much has changed in this world in terms of how we help people deal through healing trauma. It's not just the typical therapy with the psychologist and all that sort of stuff. Holistically, there's other tools out there that can reprogram you know, a negative. So what about you know, how adversity and trauma can be catalysts for growth and transformation in life? Talk to me a little bit about that. You know, what happens, you know, what, you know, I guess, what, where's the silver lining in trauma?
Yeah. So this is a really beautiful topic to talk about, actually. I like to call it post-traumatic growth. So it's the growth and the profound transformation that occurs, or there's opportunity for it to occur if you choose to go down that path, from adversity or from any form of trauma. So often it's not until we hit rock bottom or until things start to really fall away and leave us having to dive deeply inward to figure out what is going on for us and to take radical accountability for our own healing, to move forward into a better life or a better internal state. And so we can go through adversity, and that can help us look for different ways to seek happiness, and we can shift our belief systems. We can, you know, remove and shed the old people and the old patterns that aren't serving us, and moving forward into a new way of being, in the way that we think, in the things that we do, in our self-worth, in every part of us. So it's often people who have been through adversity that are the ones that project forward onto this new way of being in life, and they often are happy, successful, and moving forward if they are able to become conscious to do the healing work. If you don't have adversity or any kind of challenges, why would you change? You often just sort of status quo, keep doing what you're doing, you know, you don't really have the push. And so I find with clients, you often go through the darkest and deepest times to then come out the other end, if you're prepared to do the inner work and the healing work through that journey, to move forward to that post-traumatic growth. And it can be like, you can be a completely different person on the other side of it.
I observe that even in people writing a book, the ones that really have that urgency and need to make the book a success and to build their profile and all that sort of stuff, they're the ones that really like try their hardest, they get out there, they promote themselves, they help other people. The ones that are like, oh, it's just a good idea to write a book, you know, they'll get it done and they'll be happy, but there's no other urgency as to why should this become a success, you know, kind of thing. And then there's like, you know, the action and that kind of grit to keep going to make it a success is, you know, so same thing. I think I call it the shit hit the fan moment. You can call it trauma, you know, you can call it whatever you want, but I know it was from my shit to hit the fan moment in March 2010 when my husband lost the business, that it put a rocket up my bum to either survive, or like you say, depth of a survival is your book title. You know, it's either, you know, you survive or what, you drown otherwise. And you know, I'm sure none of us want to, you know, drown or give up on ourselves, because we want to thrive and grow and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, get fuel from the fire and create your best life moving forward. So you talked about, you also talk about self-care. All right. What are some of the self-care strategies, maybe you can share a couple here, that people can do to support themselves and or a loved one when they're walking away from an unhealthy relationship?
Yeah, I think self-care, it can be quite diverse. You know, we have the common eating the right food and exercising type self-care, but the self-care I'm talking about is at that really deep soul level. You know, when you are going through really difficult circumstances, you really need to find ways that are going to support yourself to give you the solid foundation so that you actually can keep going. Some ways that you can do that aren't always pleasant. It is around, self-care is also around removing people from your life who are not supportive of you and who are maybe kind of, well, maybe they're scapegoating you, maybe they're doing the flying monkey and, you know, supporting your abusive person. Maybe they're just invalidating you, judging you, giving you unsolicited advice. And so a form of self-care is removing things and people from your life that are actually re-traumatizing you and aren't serving you. And that can be extremely difficult to do, to let go of what is familiar in order to seek what is safe. We often stay in familiar situations that are harmful just because it's what you know feels safer, when really it's actually not going to help you move through things. So removing things from your life that are not serving you is a huge form of self-care. Another one is knowing that you're worthy of having your needs met, especially as mothers or women, or when you've always had that belief that your needs aren't important and that you need to people please in order to be accepted or loved. You can spend your life, even through difficult circumstances, trying to please people to ensure that you are maintaining that connection with them, because losing connection can feel very scary and fearful to people who have experienced trauma. So a form of self-care is around really having that self-talk that I'm important, my needs matter, and I'm going to put my needs first as well as others. And so it's really about going, you know, saying no to things that you don't want to do. It's about taking what you need for you to help you be healthy and fulfilled and strong, and just not burning yourself out trying to please and appease everyone else around you. So we're talking about self-care at quite a deep level here. Other things you can do are just making sure that you value yourself enough to eat the right foods, to set yourself some structure about going to bed at a suitable time, to get out there and socialize when you don't feel like it, but you're wanting to make sure that you're out and connecting with people rather than withdrawing and isolating. And so it's all these kind of deep self-care things to consider when you're moving through adversity or trauma. And it takes conscious effort and it takes some strength and dedication to make sure that you are, you know, really consciously looking at what it is that you need to help you to survive, to move through, to heal in these times.
Yeah. I think maybe a lot of women who are in these situations don't even think about some of those things. You know, everyone just thinks about is eating, exercise, go have a massage, all that kind of surface level stuff. But it goes way deeper than that. And I'm so glad you brought them to the forefront. So anyone listening today or on a replay, guys, just check in with yourself. Have you been doing that lately? Have you been saying no and setting boundaries? Have you got a person in your life? I recently had a person in my life that reconnected that I actually had not spoken to for many years, over 10 or maybe 15 years. And we reconnected somehow through social media, and it became really they were starting to pester me basically, and I've never blocked anyone in my life, and it took a long time for me to probably a month and a half, like I kept ignoring and ghosting, if you know what I mean, and not replying. And then just one day I thought, no, I'm gonna block, because And it was a big, like, I felt really good. Like, I was just, can you believe I just did this, you know? And, making that decision. And I feel lighter. Like, I feel, oh, my God, it's not that this thing that was hovering for a few months until I made a decision to not. That's why that actually ended 15 years ago.
Sometimes energetically you can feel, you don't know exactly why you don't feel drawn to someone, but you just know it's not right for you, and you just feel that energetic repelling for some reason. And so it's always important to trust your gut and honor that when you're trying to.
Because I'm a people person, like I could be friends with anyone, and I think I'm very much a connector and all that sort of stuff. So it's like, you know, for me to go that far, it just like would take a lot. So talk to me, maybe now let's move on to the process of writing a book. You wrote a significant book, right? You didn't just write 40,000 words. I think it was about 55 or so. Oh, 70. Yes, it was 70, because I know there were extra fees over and above the standard, which was significant as well, because it was that you literally wrote two books in one. That's how I would say it, because two books would be like 80,000 words. So how was the process? Obviously lengthier book, more time consuming. Talk to me about, you know, you came through the retreat program, then we did publishing and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, so it all happened very quickly, and I'm really glad I found Ultimate 48 Hour Authors to support me through that, because I've never written a book and I'm not a writer, although I'm happy with how it's come out. So I surprised myself, but I definitely needed structure and the guidance and the motivation to help me to follow through with doing that. And so going through that retreat, I just found I was able to, you were holding me accountable basically to make sure that I was meeting deadlines and that I didn't want to let others down as well as myself. So that was really helpful. And just having the coaching through the program was really helpful as well. When I got a bit stuck or had writer's block, just to help me understand that this is very normal, just keep going. And I did find the process quite stressful, to be honest. In my own life, I had so much going on, single parenting and working and studying and all sorts of things. So I think I just felt overwhelmed most of the time, but I was so dedicated to getting it done that I would be up at midnight doing my editing or writing or hiring babysitters on weekends to get it done. So it was a long, long year. Yeah. It took me a year to write it, not even a year, just under. But I was so happy with how it's come out and the support that I received through the process. I just think it's a commitment and it's a dedication, but it's so rewarding. And I'm just blown away in a book. Like, I never would have thought I would have written a book, and I have, and I wouldn't have been able to do it without the mentoring and support. But it's interesting because it really is your own writing. You're not writing it for us. It's just you just sort of keep things going, you know, the process of it. Is where the support comes in, which is really great.
You did an amazing job. I think you had some doubts along the way, You know, and a little bit of that, you know, am I good enough? Is this good enough? All that sort of stuff, which is always a lot more. A lot of people, when they're on their own, they will stop writing. Yes. And then they'll go into their own decision about what their writing means. I actually spoke to one of our authors who's not working as intimately through the retreat program as you did. She's through a membership process, but she's kind of, it's on to her to write the content, right? And so, you know, she's been going that circle of writing a little bit and then going, oh, this is not good enough. And I actually had a chance to talk to her face to face, just through Zoom the other day, and I said, send me something. We're our worst critics. If you'd show me something, I can show you, like, you know, you're just judging yourself, and doing it alone gets you to loop in those. This is why people put it on the back burner. They don't complete it, or they're writing and rewriting because they continuously change. And what you did, which is really, really key, is smashed it out and almost two books worth into 1 year. You did amazing even in that time frame, and you asked for support, and that I really want to acknowledge you for that. Was it hard? Of course it would have been hard. It's an extra, you know, but I always say writing a book is a temporary pain in the butt. Now that you've done it, I asked you before we got on the interview, what are you going to do with all your spare time now that you used to devote on, you know, writing the book? And I'm sure you have now clients to help. So maybe share with us, how do you help clients? Like, what do you do with them? If someone is out there looking for this kind of support, how can they contact you?
Yeah, so I get all sorts of clients. Although I do attract a lot of the women who have experienced DV or unhealthy relationships or that childhood trauma side of things, I do seem to attract those clients, and they can, and, you know, I can relate to them. The way that I support them is very, I guess, holistic and very intuitive for their needs. It's definitely not a cookie cutter approach. So I'll generally use kinesiology as a foundation for biofeedback, and we really identify their root cause imbalances and stresses in relation to, you know, why they're presenting to me. And then we will kind of come up with a bit of a plan or a treatment plan moving forward. And I really focus on nervous system regulation, because that's always at play for people with unresolved trauma or anxiety, depression, or any other mental health symptoms. I'll also look at the suppression of emotions, you know, with childhood conditioning and these types of dynamics. Is always this unhealthy conditioning about emotions aren't welcome, and that you need to squash them down, and that they aren't able to be processed. And so I always find that people have this density within their body and in their nervous system where they've just had to shut down and suppress emotions throughout accumulation of their life. And so we work on releasing, processing those within their body. The limiting beliefs and unconscious beliefs, we work a lot with the belief systems as well, so that we can actually shift those patterns that are playing out, shift the way that they're feeling about themselves and their worth, and then, you know, things really transform in their world. And I also work through various forms of the energetics or spiritual aspects as well. And sometimes that's just integrated without even talking about it. And sometimes people are very open to it, but I always incorporate that, because we are a whole being, holistically, physically, mentally, emotionally, energetically, and spiritually. And they're the five aspects that I work with when, you know, working with people who are trying to heal from trauma.
Yeah. That's amazing. It does sound like, you know, there would be something for everybody. And as you say, customize depending on what the person needs and where they're coming from.
Yeah.
So where can people buy the book? What is, where would you like them to find you?
So I have a link on my website, Tracy Grace Healing. So my website there, it can be purchased there. It's also on Amazon, so Amazon Australia and internationally. So you can usually just Google it. It'll come up with one of the online book platforms there. And so they're the two main places where it is available. It's available in paperback and in the Kindle version as well. And eventually we'll be doing an audio down the track, just not at this stage, maybe next year.
Yeah, nice one. Well, guys, this is the website. If you're seeing this on a video, obviously you can see Tracy, T-R-A-C-E-Y, and then Grace, G-R-A-C-E, and then healing.com only. Tracy's services are also listed here. You can contact her through this part of the website, obviously purchase the book from there. I'm sure if you purchase it directly from her, she'll send you a signed copy.
My clinic as well. So if people come in person for sessions, there's availability to purchase it here. And if I'm seeing clients online, I can offer to send it out, you know, personally as well.
Tracy's based in the Gold Coast of Australia, in case you're watching this, because we have people from all over the world listening and watching. But if you are in the Gold Coast, you need something like that, obviously you can go see her face to face. And yeah, it's amazing. And the website's also been posted just below in the comments. I can see here on my phone, Lindy's been there, you know, watching us, and the others who've joined live. Please put on our live stream, if you are on the live, if you're live or a replay. So put in live in the comments if you were there live, or replay if you're watching this as a replay later on today. Amazing. Thank you so much, Tracy. I think you added. I've interviewed many people on this type of a topic, and everyone has a different story. And I always, whenever I interview, hear different gold nuggets. Yeah. You know, some of the things that, how you do it, and the angle, and the insights that you bring from your experience, and what you have found works. I never give up. I always say there's always a solution that's going to help you solve a particular problem, challenge, trauma in life. You know how people try to lose weight, you know, through many different diets and all that kind of stuff, and finally one day they find, if you try hard enough, you'll find the one that suits your lifestyle and everything. Same thing with trauma, I believe. You know, try many different things. And of course, if you like what Tracy said in her approaches, then give that approach a go and see if you can reprogram and clear and heal from that, so you can live your ideal life. So thanks, everybody. Hope you enjoyed today's
interview. Thank you so much for having me.
Questions, we will monitor the interaction on this call, so we can come back to you with any answers, or if you're curious about something that you want to know. So have a great week, everyone, and go out there and smash it up. Bye, guys.